Well, welcome everybody to the Wednesday night Bible study. We're glad that you have joined us. I have Megan here with me tonight. Good evening, Megan.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm sitting at my fancy new desk all spread out.
Keeping warm.
It's about three times the size of the little, child's desk that I had two computers on in the past. It, fits everything and then some. But Anne may be joining us. She was, had to go into town. And Miss Karen is spending some time with Sue and Nunu. And, so she will rejoin us next week. So for the time, you have Megan and I. So tonight, we're going to look at the subject of prayer. And right off the bat, I want people to know there are two teachings on the Fisherman Ministry website on prayer. One is called Prayer Enjoined, and Megan's going to put that link in the chat. The other one is called A Word About Prayer, and I encourage everybody to actually take the time and read these. And it's good to read things more than once. So we're going to start with prayer enjoined. And Megan, I know you had some words on the word enjoined.
Sure. Well, I looked it up. I thought it meant, joining together sort of thing. And I looked it up on the Strong's, which said to enjoin, to give charge, give command or commandments to enjoin. And then I had a look, in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. If you just give me a second or a couple more, enjoin. To direct or impose by authoritative order or with urgent admonition, which I thought was a clear, really. And the teaching on prayer enjoined, if you think about it, is then we're commanded by the Lord to pray. It is something that we need to do urgently and with in obedience to what he has told us to do.
Amen.
Is that clear?
Yes. And, I know one thing that is common and easy is to not take heed. A command is something we are to take heed to and do. So let us look at prayer as one of those things that the Lord has commanded. You have two things on the website that can give you some guidance, and I know Davey Service, three Sundays ago, I think, which was on the topic of going from self-esteem to confidence, he said the way to do it was to pray those things God wants to hear and will answer. And these are things to do, and I encourage everybody to avail themselves again of the resources, but more than that, or after that, or even while you're doing that, to pray. So we're going to take and just start and see where the Lord takes us. And Megan, you are Miss Reader tonight.
Righty-ho.
So in the prayer enjoined, they have a listing of scriptures. The first one is 1 Chronicles 16:11.
Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually.
I was telling Megan, I read this chapter this morning, and it is a chapter that comes on the heels of the Ark of the Covenant being brought back to Israel. Well, it was in Israel, and David brought it back up to Jerusalem, I think. And then after that, David then gave commandment to certain of the Levites, and he gave a psalm, which is like 30 verses or something, in which this one verse is found. And once again, I encourage people to read that chapter and be admonished by it. He talks about remembering the things that the Lord has done, the mighty works. And Israel had a particular history that was, they needed to keep present and knowledgeable and believe in the forefront of their mind, but so do we. And it will strengthen us in our hope and our faith to do so. Looking at this verse, though, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. And one thing in looking at these verses that is an integral part of prayer and is a word in the definitions of almost every time the word prayer or seek comes up is worship, which probably none of us or few of us ever really thought of prayer as a form of worship. But having seen it so often, I looked up the word worship. And it is to prostrate oneself in homage, do reverence, to adore, worship. And that's really the starting point of prayer. You don't always have to pray on your knees, but it is a right starting place, as soft as you can. To get on your knees before the Lord and worship Him, acknowledging who He is, what He's done, His mighty love that He has bestowed upon you and me, to seek Him, to seek His face, to come into that throne room of God that we have entrance to through the blood of the Lamb. And make your requests made known unto Him. One thing about making requests made known unto Him is that it's part of that being careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your heart and minds. And this is a prayer in faith. Once again, in that same service, Davy talked about the difference between praying in the flesh, where you have a brass ceiling. There's no confidence, no getting up and knowing that the Lord has heard you and that you can trust Him with the answer. But that's something the Lord has given us, has commanded us to do, and if we will, we will be strengthened in Him, and as we go forward, we will also be strengthened in the knowledge of where we stand, which is in Him, but that He is with us. That's only one aspect of prayer, and we'll hold off because this particular verse, seek the Lord and His strength. I mean, that's an acknowledgement of the fact that we need His strength to do His will. We need His strength to love one another. We need Him in all things. When He commanded Joshua to be strong and of a good courage, Joshua didn't do that in his flesh. He did that by faith in Christ Jesus, or in God, and he relied upon God and God's strength and not his own. The promises and the hope and the commandments and the word of God, he believed and was then able to walk in obedience. But he knew him, and he availed himself through prayer of the very God whom he served. And seek His face continually. You know, we interact with people. We interact with ourselves. I don't know which is more difficult. But prayer is the way to handle everything. It's the way to handle relationships. It's the way to handle when somebody's struggling. I know in chatting with Megan earlier, you know, when you avail yourself of God to help you, and then you beseech Him on behalf of another, it rids you of a place of judgment, because now you have the same hope one for another, and you're joined in the battle one for another with the same hope, who is Jesus and His victory and our coming through and all of these things. So Megan, I don't want to continue to blab. Please enter in there, my dear.
Sure. Well, I was talking with my children last week about Daniel, and we know that when the decree went out about nobody making supplication to petition, I think was the word, to anybody other than King Darius, Daniel, knowing about the writing, went to his house, and in Daniel 6:10 it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." And you have an example of a faithful prayer, continuing to pray despite the fact that it may cost him his life. But he continued in it, because that is, and the Lord was his everything.
It's an example there of, well, one, it's the fulfillment of 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. And, of course, that decree by Darius was one to disobey.
Sure.
And Daniel had the wisdom and the confidence and in his God, whichever way it went, because we know he was thrown into the lion's den, which looks like death to me. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. That looks like death. I mean, they were facing death for their refusal to worship anyone but the Lord God. And yet, we know that they were delivered. And others weren't, by the lions and by the fire, but they were. And God, the one true God, was manifested mightily through the faithfulness and obedience of his servants, who had the practice of calling upon and relying upon and choosing to believe upon the Word of God. The only way we're going to have that is by doing the same thing. That's why prayer's enjoined. That's why it is commanded. It's important. It's one of the most powerful tools that the Lord has given us.
He tells us in a bunch of different places, pray without ceasing. Continue in prayer. Watch and pray. Ask. 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 He tells us.
You know that watch and pray because one of the scriptures is Matthew 26:41. Watch is to stay awake, you know, and that is awake in the spirit. It doesn't mean that you don't sleep, because God, one of the other provisions God has made for us is physical rest, but is to be awake, to be watchful. And I know in the ministers' convention it spoke about, they spoke about our spiritual senses. The only way they will be developed and we will be able to move in accordance with them is through that watchfulness in the spirit. So, Megan, do you want to read Matthew 26:41?
Sure. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah. I don't see where it says there, if you feel like it, you might want to watch and pray.
That would fall under the flesh is weak part. So you know when you really don't feel like it, that's a really good time to be praying hard.
And as we know, we can pray that he gives us the will to do of his good pleasure. Because as you pointed out, our flesh is weak to will to do of his good pleasure. One of the things of his good pleasure is to pray. Another one in Matthew, Megan, is chapter 7, verse 7, verses 7 and 8.
Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened.
And that ask there is ask, but it's also beg. And it seems kind of weird to think about begging, but it's a matter of it being of utmost importance to you, that you want it that much. Another scripture where the idea of to beg is in, and then we'll go back to the Matthew one, is Luke 21:36.
Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.
That's an interesting thing there, because it's easy to assume that you will be accounted worthy to escape all the things that are that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. But this verse commands us or enjoins us to watch, once again in the spirit, being awake, aware of what's going on, and to pray. And it's in you know, it's really a beseeching for that mercy and that grace, that you may be accounted worthy. And of course, the great example we know of somebody being accounted righteous was Abraham, and it was solely based on the fact that he took God at his word. He believed what God said was true. You can't separate believing God. You can say you believe God, but if his word says something and you don't, and you know it says it, and you don't believe him, you don't believe on him. You don't believe him. you've judged it and changed it and decided it's not for your particular experience or instance. And it is that kind of prayer and beseeching of the Lord that we will come to that place where we believe on His word and are immovable from it. And the circumstances of our lives or the commandment of God to do will not undermine the knowledge of the truth. And gosh, Megan, Daniel was a great example of that. He believed the word of God. Therefore, he would not be turned from it, no matter what the cost.
We had talked. It seems it's been spoken. I've heard it in the last few weeks, you know, maybe the last couple of months, but praying prayers that the Lord will honor and will answer, that His answer will be yes. And I know last week we had talked about studying the Word. No, we didn't. That was 2 weeks ago. Was that witness? Anyway, when we talked about...
Week.
Okay, I'm trying to think which one was witnessing and then the other one was studying the word. But if you want to pray, if you want it to be ask and it shall be given you, you need to know what sort of things to ask for. And so get into the word and, yes. You know, read it, study it, and then pray and ask the Lord. Ask Him to show you His word. Ask Him to show you that it is true. And look for those opportunities that He will give you.
Well, and because this is a woman's Bible study, and you're rightly talking about asking those things the Lord will hear, one of them is, you know, to be a wife that walks in obedience to God's word. If you're a wife, we know a wife is to be a helpmeet to her husband. And that's something that you could pray and ask the Lord for, that He would give you the will to conform your will to His word. That you will walk in obedience and submission to your husband, in wisdom and in truth. Once again, I think one of the greatest tools in that is prayer, praying for your husband. That certainly a form of being a helpmeet. Why don't we look at Luke 18, 1 through 8?
Sure. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know, as we read that, I'm reminded of Job. crying day and night unto him. And the Lord answered him, and answered him so speedily that Job wasn't ready to leave. Just let me finish up. Let me get this. Let me, you know, so much so that the angels picked them up and moved them out, sort of thing.
Are you talking about Job?
Yes, not Job. Not Job. What's his name?
Lot?
Him. The other, yes. the other really short name.
I was willing to believe you on Job, but the end didn't sound like the end of Job that I remember.
No. I didn't mean Lot. Sorry.
Job. I mean Job.
Okay.
But thank you for making sure. you know, that word faint there is, you know, to grow weary or faint in heart. And I know one of the things Davey also said on that service about what to pray for, he said, you may have to pray a lot. Are you willing to? Are we willing to pray as long as it takes to break through on things? To believe and to know that the Lord has heard us and to stand in the knowledge that he shall perform it?
You know, some of that breaking through, as you mentioned it, is just us moving from a flippant sort of request, in the sense of an attitude. I don't mean the request is flippant, but in an attitude of being, well, you know, God's going to give it to me or what have you, to being, but this is a right thing for me to ask and pressing in to be able to receive it.
You know, when you say that, it reminds me of Hannah, who, of course, prayed. We all know the story because Eli saw her and thought she was drunk, and she said, no, I'm a woman of a sorrowful heart, I think it says. And he then said, well, the Lord grant you your petition. The interesting thing about that that's worthy of note, other than the fact that she got up and received that as the very word of God, and it was performed, she was granted, is that she had made a vow. She made a promise to God. And she kept her promise. And I know that in Texas Sunday services of late, it has been spoken that when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we made a vow or a promise to him that we would serve him however he would have us serve him, however he chose, that we were no longer our own but his. But it's in this kind of thing that, you know, when we pray that he gives us his love, that we may love others, that's part of that service he would have us perform. When we pray that he will give us a heart to do his will, it kind of goes back to that, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. These are those prayers that when we will obey the Lord and not flippantly, not just saying, well, I've done that, because that's easy to go there, you know. And it's not a vain repetition, but it's actually to set our desire to have these things from him and to lift them up to him really constantly, because he can answer a prayer like, Lord, give me your love that I may love another with. But because we dwell in a sinful flesh that is contrary to that, it's something to seek God for always. And you can see why he says to pray always, in all prayer and supplication for all saints. He says to pray in the Spirit and all, because we need his presence and his help and his love and his strength and all that he has given us in order to serve him and not ourselves. And prayer is the starting point or the launch pad, kind of, that he has given us to go forward in him.
Something also to remember is pray and ask him and then begin thanking him for it, even though perhaps you don't see the answer yet.
That's a good point. That's that knowing that God will answer, and no matter what you see, because our flesh gives us some pretty deceitful things to look at. But that's a very good point.
A part of that is we pray expecting the answer to our request to look some particular way. And it doesn't necessarily come in the way that we think it will. Not to suggest that you go and watch Evan Almighty, but there was a line in there where, what's his name? Morgan Freeman, who sort of plays God, if you will, is talking with Evan's wife, and he says something like, when you pray that God will bring a family together, or that he will help you to have, you know, that he will give you love one for another, do you think he does that, or do you think he gives you the opportunities to choose to do so?
Yeah.
And so sometimes the answers to our prayers are opportunities that we miss because, what did it say there? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We're looking for an answer that satisfies our flesh in a way. And that's not the right, that's not necessarily how the answer is going to come.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. It reminds me of let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing or lack. I think it's wanting nothing, but it might be. Okay. Because to believe God and to hold on to what he has said and what his word has promised takes force on our part at times. But as you said earlier, Megan, that if we will use that force, you know, love the Lord thy God with all their mind, with all your mind, soul, strength, and heart. You know, that strength, you have to use it with force sometimes to stand, notwithstanding how you feel.
I periodically send my children into a corner to go and get alone with the Lord and get a better attitude. Usually it's not very long. They come back to me. What did you do? You know, I've done it. What did you do? I asked the Lord for a better attitude. And I think they expect him to just give them a better attitude. And I said, you know, don't you? The Lord gives you the opportunity. He gives it all to you. You've got to choose to have it.
Yeah.
He's given it to you. But it's up to you whether you're going to receive that and go forward in it or say, you know, well, I was expecting you to do it sort of thing.
You know, Megan, would you read 1 Timothy 2:8?
I will therefore that men everywhere lifting up holy hands without
that men pray everywhere.
Thank you. I thought I missed a very important word. I will therefore that men pray everywhere lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting.
Without wrath or wrath, if you're from South Africa, and doubting. This is something we choose to do, like you were saying. We can. He's given us everything we need to do it. We have to exercise ourselves to do these things. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. In Colossians 4:2, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Megan, would you read Philippians 4:6 and then Ephesians 6:18?
Yes. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
With thanksgiving.
And Ephesians.
I mean, you stop and think about how I mean, obviously that's an important thing. And once again, it's not a, if you feel like it, it's a commandment. It's an acknowledgement of his worthiness of thanks in all things. That we can trust him in all things. These are things that will lift you up and out of a situation if you will do it. And then you will be are in a position to be able to serve him in that situation, if you will do it. Okay, Ephesians 6:18.
Quickly though, that Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be fearful. Don't take thought for it. You know? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, take everything to the Lord. There's nothing for you to be worried about. If the Lord is able to handle absolutely everything that you have, that you run into.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because I know there's certain things in my life that I get, anxious. I don't feel up to the task. I don't feel time for the task. I feel behind the eight ball, put it that way. And this here, it says, don't be careful for anything. And all of those times, remember who to call upon. And to rest in, and to trust to work in and through me or you in that situation to perform it. Because there's a lot of things that I am unable to perform, but God is able to in and through me if I will but allow him. So be careful for nothing. But in everything, all those things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And you know, to be thankful for those opportunities is a wonderful thing because it is in those opportunities that our need for the Lord and his then supply of that need is wrought in us. And our confidence and knowledge grows in him in those situations and because of those situations. It doesn't if we don't have them. So wherever you are and whatever is before you, if you will do these things in accordance with his word, go back and look at this stuff, you'll grow in the Lord. And that's what we're about, right? Ephesians 6:18.
Would you like me to read 19:2?
Yes, please.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel.
You know, this is the Apostle Paul writing this, and he has asked for prayer, which he has done in many other places in the Word. And that prayer right there in verse 19 is one to pray for Davy, to pray for Steve, to pray for Paul, to pray for Lawrence, who's in Ghana. How often do we lift up those who have the rule over us, who watch for our souls, and lift them before the Lord, or those who disciple us, or those who minister to us on a Sunday? How often do you think about praying for them and letting the Lord lead you? Or praying just exactly what it says in verse 19 of Ephesians 6, that utterance will be given unto them, that they may boldly proclaim, I don't have it here, the mystery of the gospel. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. It's one of those aspects that knits the body together, and one of those ways in which every part supplieth for another part. I'm reminded of, I think it was two Tuesday nights ago, when Davy talked about how the Lord looks at us and that we are to look at one another this way. And he used the monarch butterfly, he said, at which the Lord has given us to show that. And he said, you know, you have the monarch caterpillar that goes into a cocoon or a cave and dies. And when it comes out a the glorified creature, the monarch butterfly. God sees that glorified creature. We, in our natural man, see the caterpillar. We cannot minister and exhort one another looking at him as a caterpillar. And we can't look at him as the glorified creature without praying, coming before the Lord, recognizing our own enormous need for him. And then the needs of another are small compared to ours, and to pray for them, that the Lord will bring them through, will strengthen them in accordance with his will and his word. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So there again you see that watchfulness in the Spirit, being aware of what's going on and keeping one another in prayer. There's one of the teachings, and Megan, maybe you'd like to put those teachings again in for those who may have come in late, or I know like James and Rose exited and came back, so they'd be lost to them now. The other teaching is a word about prayer. So prayer and join, we've looked at a lot of the scriptures there. A word about prayer looks at James chapter 5. And it goes down and breaks it down. And it's something to read prayerfully. I'm going to just actually read one part of it because it's such a fundamental truth and it can be such a hard one to get our arms wrapped around sometimes. And I'm going to use myself as an example. I know for much of my life since I accepted Christ as my Savior and Lord, Lord and Savior, I spent trying to figure out how come I was the way I was. And when I finally realized it was because of my own sin and not the actions of anybody else, it opened the door for the Lord to begin to change me. And so in James chapter 5, and let me tell you what verse it is, 16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And so in this teaching under confess, it means to acknowledge or by implication of assent, agree fully. Confess, profess, promise. One of the first things that we get from this definition is to acknowledge or by implication of assent, agree fully. If you want God to answer your prayers, then the first thing that you have to do is to acknowledge your faults or sin. Agree fully that they are wrong. Many Christians that I talk to do not have good success in their prayer life simply because of this one thing. They don't want to accept their responsibility for their actions and sins. It is never their fault, or it is always beyond their control. You may deceive yourself, but you cannot deceive God. If you want to be in a position for God the Father to hear your prayers and act on them, you must acknowledge your faults and fully agree that they are wrong. I cannot lay my sin at the foot of anybody else, nor can you. It's that simple. What you do isn't anybody else's fault. How you are isn't anybody else's fault. Now, the Lord doesn't reject us for these things. But if we want to be healed, both in our soul, spirit, and flesh, it starts acknowledging that we're wrong. He'll show us these things. And he'll actually walk us right out of them. I know there was long suffering extended to me. Both while I wasn't getting it, and once I got it, to stand in it. And it is an easy thing to look at a situation and lay blame on another person. It's an easy place to go. And it doesn't have anything to do with whether the other person had any blame. There are things in me and sin in me and unbelief that unless I am willing to take the responsibility for it, confess it. How can God deliver me and heal me? How can I move off of that place? As he said, many Christians that he talked to do not have good success in their prayer life simply because of this one thing. It's a good teaching. So I hope you all will take a look at it. Do you want to just read down from James 5, 13 through 18 there, Megan?
Sure. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church.
Are you there? Megan?
Yes, I am here. I'm here. I've read two full verses already. And the Megan, are you here? Was the giveaway. I'm sorry. Let's try this again. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit.
I want to get to the mustard seed kind of faith, too, if we can, which we've all heard, but it is, once again, a good thing to be brought into remembrance. But in verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and faults can be anything from a small thing to a large thing, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. And the thing about that is that if you will do these things, you will be healed. Doesn't say the other person will be in that verse. It talks about you. So if you'll confess your faults, not to just anybody, but like if you have a discipler or something, somebody in authority, somebody mature in the Lord. Read the thing, because there's some things that aren't to go to another person. And then if you will pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's a strong action word. Fervent, to be mighty in, show forth self, work effectually in. Powerful, to show forth yourself unselfish. And then Elias there, that kind of brings me back to that mustard seed faith, where we've all heard it ministered that a mustard seed is unlike the other herbs that have to, you know, they just have to have the right soil, don't put anything over them and all that kind of stuff. But a mustard seed knows that it will break through, and it perseveres. So you put a boulder on top of it, and it'll find a crack in that boulder, and it'll ultimately split that boulder. And one of the beautiful things about it is that it grows up into a large enough tree in the right climate that even the birds can rest in it. And when I read that or see that, isn't that a beautiful thing, that there is rest for another in faith? And that if we will have that faith, even as Elias did, who prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't at his word, and persevere to become of that faith. That's what this is about. There's only one way to get it. We know that Jesus made confession that his Father always heard him. If we'll pray in accordance with his will and be diligent and persevere and pray for others and do in accordance with his word, we can come to that same confidence. It's not just going to happen like Megan when you talk about your children. Well, I asked the Lord for a good attitude. And then they went off and did, well, not always. Oftentimes your children come away and they have a right attitude, at least for a time. I mean, else you'd send them back into the corner to figure it out. But it's a choice that we are commanded to do. And prayer is one of the greatest spiritual weapons we have to open the door, ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You can't stand on the other side of that and wonder why you haven't received, haven't found, and it hasn't been opened, if you haven't asked, sought, and knocked for as long as it takes. And to do likewise on behalf of others. You can't do that for them, but we can certainly lift each other up. We can see oftentimes what's going on around us. Let us be mindful to pray for our brethren. And we're about at the end of the hour, so Megan, you have any final words for us?
1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing.
Amen. Well, may the Lord bless and may you obey him. And we will look forward to seeing y'all next week. Good night.
Good night.